In the podcast system, sexually awkward situations are considered absolutely hilarious. In the state of Texas, the dedicated G's who regurgitate these gag-worthy stories are members of an elite squad known as the Kiss Me Fat Boy Unit. These are their stories.
Maha!
Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. Before you say anything, hold on, hold on. Ready? You ready?
I did say something. What do you mean?
These niggas talking out of their neck. Don't put no coughing out of your mouth. I'm way too paranoid for threats. Hey, let's get it, bro.
DOT, the money power. Respect the last one is better.
Goofies with a check.
I mean, aw.
Okay.
I just wanted
we're
to do
fucking
that.
Get, we're no, we're get flagged.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Because we're not selling this shit.
We're going to take our shit down.
Like the Republicans say, come and take it down. Come and take our guns.
Or as Joe Biden says, don't. you know what that's from, right?
No.
Well, no, with the whole thing when he did a press conference about Palestine and the whole Israel when they were going the whole dropping the bombs and everything, and they were like, he's like, "What's your messages to Israel?"
Don't.
He said, "Don't." Yeah.
Okay. He really was.
And then he walked away. No, and then he walked away, and they kept coming back. And I was just like, "Okay, this is just like losing its effectiveness."
Did this man Does the man think he was fucking Ted Cruz with the "Don't mess with Texas" slogan?
Oh God, I think that meant serious. Ted Cruz, I mean. All right, so let me go ahead and just give the disclaimer. You, as a listener, are deciding if this is a conversation or a confrontation regarding the topics we address on this long overdue episode. We literally have not done an episode since. I think I was looking at the archives. I think it was December
of last year.
Literally. Oh God! It was 4 months ago.
No, but, yeah. I mean, still last year.
Yeah.
A lot of things have happened. You know,
you're pregnant. You're with child now. No, I mean, please, I'm a child.
No, could you imagine? Like, you know what I should have done? This is just that you were a child. I should have been like,
my titties is all achy.
Right.
No, but anyways, I'm getting a little belly.
Right,
girl. That's 10 bellies.
Was I gonna say? It's just been the year of beef so far. Look at that. Who knew that Megan was just gonna sit there and just start a trend? And when she dropped Hiss, and she had to sit there and shit on Nicki Minaj, even though I don't think that was necessarily the intended target. But you know, of course, that's the one thing I don't like about Nicki is that bitch is on paranoia 24/7. But I get it. Whatever. It's not like she sits there and chooses to actually pick fights with black women because she normally goes for white women.
But this has been a great year for her. Number one album, sold out concert,
yeah.
Perfume, shoes. She's doing the damn thing.
No, she is, but that was, I mean, again, the thing about is that Nicki was always going to be, not always going to be, but she built herself to be a household item. Now, I'm not a fan of the shoes. I don't like them, but then again, they're not for me.
Yeah.
The perfume, my mom really liked. I like it. I just, I like when Nicki gets humbled sometimes. Bigfoot was a bullshit ass diss. I don't give a fuck what no one says. And if there are any barbs here who sit there and listen.
Line on your mom. Line on your dad.
Well, I mean, look, her daddy became a road bump. I'm just saying, I would have been Megan and be like, your dad was a road bump. Your dad was a road bump. I would have said that. I would have. I'd have been like, and your daddy was a crackhead when he set the house on fire with your mom in it. but you know me. I always, I take after Ray when it's like, when they go low, we go to hell. So yeah.
Exactly.
But
we descend through the earth's core and we go even lower.
Mm-hmm. Well, just an FYI, the reason why it took so long for us to do this is because of Ray. I believe in blaming. It is, because how many times we gotta do this, we gotta do this, and all of a sudden I just don't feel like it. I'm just like, okay.
Well, no, I just think I took like somewhat of a sabbatical, right? Because I was just going through so much, it just felt like one thing after the next. It just felt like I was getting hit and hit, you know? So it was just like, there was a lot of things to address, a lot of things to action, a lot of things to kind of ponder over, and just, I needed to be in my quiet boy era. So, and I still am, you know? I don't know, like, you know, because I'm back on my mental health journey, you know? I just signed up again, and this time I'm going to actually get a psychologist. I literally just set the consultation up today. So fingers crossed, like, it goes well. They're pretty expensive though, but you know, it from, So remember earlier we were talking about the whole Amanda Seales and Club Shay Shay interview. So they've been, I haven't seen the interview at all. I know that you listened to it, but I've been getting little pockets of it here and there from social media. And she self-diagnosed herself with autism, right? Because she says that allegedly, right? Mm-hmm. It takes $10,000 to diagnose an adult for autism or being on the spectrum. So now it's not called, you can't say autism, because I think it's a, what did she say? She said it's, she used some word. So basically it's outdated and it's offensive, just like the whole word for transgender, you know, the one before. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to offend nobody. If you choose to say it, that's fine. But
transvestite, I'm not scared.
No, that's not it.
Oh, you mean transsexual?
No.
No, that was transsexual. Because before...
No, it's the NY. The it ends with NY.
Non-binary?
No, it's the trans word, and then it's NY at the end. Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean tranny.
Yes.
Oh, boy, first of all, don't be scared to sit there and say something. I mean, again, unless you're using it in a derogatory way. I mean, of course, words have always existed regardless of whether they're used now moving forward. I mean, it's like the same thing when people used to use the word retarded. You know what I'm saying? We didn't know any better. You know, again, at the end of the day, you know, the actual...
Well, technically, the actual clinical term was mentally retardation.
Which, again, you know, I mean, y'all got to blame these medical professionals and stuff when they come up with these fucking names and stuff for these things. You know, it's like Lou Gehrig disease and shit. Like, it's usually named after people who discovered it. So I don't think anybody wanted to sit there and take up, you know, the word mental retardation. Like, I mean, it probably would have been better if it would have been named by the person who fucking, you know, discovered it. I'm sorry, I said founded it. Like, it's a fucking Burger King. but yeah. Oh, you know, also, in the great words of Mel Ford, ciao, good night. That's on Amanda Seales talking about she's autistic. Whatever. Okay, girl, if you are, then go ahead.
Wait, like Mel Ford, Melissa Ford?
Mm-hmm. Melissa Ford, oh. M4. She'd be like, ciao, good night. Like, I'm tired of hearing about that girl. I mean, Amanda Seales. Only because, again, like I said, I don't necessarily... She's not the wave. She's not the wave. I mean, we I had say...
this discussion, you know?
Yeah, we already did, and I'm not scared to rehash it. Let's go ahead and do it right now. You know what I'm saying?
stupid.
No, I mean, like I said, I love vocal women. And again, I hate that as soon as we start talking about this, it's always, well, it's always when a black woman does it. It's always when I'm, you know, I'm like, okay, y'all want to get rid of racism so bad, but y'all keep bringing up color. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, it's like, all right, cool. Like Mel Gibson, ooh, wrong person. Morgan Freeman said in an interview, you want to get rid of racism? Stop talking about it. You know, like y'all keep bringing it up. Like what's, it's only going to sit there and keep people in the scope of it, making it exist. You know, I mean, again, I haven't had the word for word interview he said, but I mean, I like people who are passionate, but there is a difference between passion and arrogance, and then arrogance to like, I don't know. Like, it's just it's like, you know, you can be super arrogant about a matter that you turn people off. And I don't think that, I mean, again, she doesn't have to care what anybody says. I mean, she was there to deliver her speech. She delivered it, whether, you know, she did it to the full extent that she intended it to or not. Like, it's gotten people talking. The thing about it, though, is like, I mean, Monique was also chastised the same time when she was vocalizing her stuff about, you know, pay discrepancy between, you know, other comedians and her and stuff like that. And look what happened with her. She got blackballed, you know what I'm saying, and blacklisted. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, do you get more flies with sugar or vinegar, you know? So, but.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of address the whole racism thing, I do think that racism is real. I do think that we still need to keep the conversation going. I understand what you're saying when you say that. But I feel like, you know, Amanda Seales is a huge advocate. You know, like I told you earlier, she's pro-black. She likes to sit here and talk about her history, her culture. She's very well versed. She has a lot of knowledge as far as, you know, African American studies, and you know, and that's just to like kind of address one, like a small portion of who she is what I'm saying. But her, that's her main purpose. And I think that she went on that platform Because I know that a lot of people, I'm going to say a lot of folks, feel the same way that you do to some degree, right? Because they feel like she's a little bit the mad, angry Black woman.
Yeah, but she comes off as a firecracker.
I don't really see her as such. Like, because I told you earlier, I get along with people who are very confrontational, who are very, they're straight shooters. Mm-hmm. You know, they say what's on their mind. And then, you know, I believe in holding space for everybody, but sometimes we're selective in how comfortable we make people, right? Especially white people, to be honest, right? Which I have nothing against. Do I have my views and do I have my beliefs?
Don't be lying, Ray. You said white ain't right. You told me for like 15 years white ain't right, and I'm sure.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I do feel like, I'm not trying to be like politically correct or anything, or not trying to say anything offensive. I'm just simply saying that there are certain things that I agree with, certain things that I don't. But I do feel like she is a very passionate, smart woman who's a full realized human being as a Black woman as well, and knows her stuff. And I think that that comes off to the world as, I have to be careful with what I say, right? Because I don't want to use the wrong term, because I'll be very transparent. The first word that was going to come out of my mouth is aggressive, you know, and you have to be careful because that is a microaggression when you say aggressive.
Well, I mean, look, there are definitions for words for a reason. I think that we also need to stop catering to people who are triggered by hearing fucking words in a sentence. Now, I know that you and I are completely different and I respect how you choose to move, but I just want people to know here that I'm not going to move in such a manner. I'm going to say what I want to say. And if y'all don't like it, then that's on great. None of what I'm saying is factual. I just am standing on it on my side of the grass. Now,
well, yeah, comes down to, it's not what they call you, what you respond to. Mm-hmm. But words hold I'm a aggressive. Lot of power.
Yeah, but no, see, I'm a South, but I'm a power. No. But I also love being associated with the word aggressive. But that's just on me because it's like when you're driving, you know, you're met with yield signs and you're met with stop signs. For me, when people describe me as aggressive, that's a yield and a stop sign for you. Because that's letting you know to approach me with caution depending on how you are trying to come across. You see what I'm saying? Like, if I don't know you from nowhere and someone says, yeah, be careful with him because he's known to be aggressive to people who, like, disrespect him, I want you to know that there is going to be a, you know, what is it called? A consequence. I'm sorry, I don't know why I was stumbling. There's a consequence. But, like I was telling you, again, I'm going to sit there and say this as a whole. Whatever I choose to sit there and say about any community, that is my experience only. I don't need anybody from any other community trying to sit there and tell me what I can and cannot say about y'all when I experience some things. I'm not trying to sit there and define y'all. I'm just saying certain things that I've witnessed. And y'all aren't going to take my witnessing away. So if y'all want to sit there and be triggered and angered, then you can go fuck yourself. I'm just going to say that respectfully. Look at me. The new year, new me. No, I mean, like, I told you about the difference between, Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, right? Like, they were very much on opposite ends of the spectrum for how they were trying to deliver to the civil rights movement. You see what I'm saying? Like, you needed both of them at that time in order to sit there and prevail. And again, at the end of the day, it kind of sucks that they both lost their lives because, you know, they would be able to, you know, they didn't get to live to see their contribution, their sacrifice to the movement. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to sit there and go any further on that one. I'm just saying that, like, I think that with Amanda Seales, somebody who's not super knowledgeable about her, she doesn't kind of, like, ease in with getting to know her. She's like, bam, bam, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? And I can relate to that because to a degree, I have been that, right? You know, it's like, boom, I'm in the door. Fuck y'all. If y'all don't like me, boom, y'all want to do something, do something. You know what I'm saying? But I've also had to learn that, like, whether people want to sit there and choose to accept this or not, every one of us, even you listeners, work for a white man. So y'all need to learn to understand that there is not going to be a world where y'all push white people to the side, because we're going to have to all learn how to coexist in the best way possible. Like, that's just what it is. So, like, when I see individuals like Amanda Seale on Club Shay Shay saying the shit that she says about white people, she sounds really fucking stupid. Because at the end of the day, she's not going to like when people sit there and tell her and say, hey, girl, you don't want to work under the umbrella of a white person, then girl, go find somebody who's, you know, pro-black. And, you know, like in the episode, like remember in Scream 2, can I get all black cast, you know, all black eyes, all black IPs, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can find those people, but the money's way different. And that's the thing about it, though, is people are always going to be like, why should I have to give up? Because, baby girl, the world doesn't revolve around you and your skin tone either. Like, I don't know how many times y'all got to, you know, we got to keep hearing it. We don't need to be reminded the skin tone of people's color. Hold on, did I say that right? We don't need to be reminded the color of people's skin. Like, we can see, unless we're fucking Stevie Wonder. You know what I'm saying? Then give us a description. But, you know, I don't know. I've just made do with, like, I'm not saying roll over and let people walk all over you, because that's not what I'm saying. But you also can't sit there and meet somebody who you don't know and then meet them with aggression and then expect them to be like, oh, well, that was so nice of you. Oh, my God, you're so. No, that shit that y'all were doing, you know, 4, 5, 10 years ago when y'all were protesting and scaring these white people, they have become immune to it, baby girl, baby boy, baby them. They don't no longer care. That's why you have people who were trying to overthrow the election, who were doing shit like at, you know, January 6th, you know, the insurrection, because they are just fed up with a lot of nonsense. Now, am I calling certain movements and acts nonsense? No. I'm just saying that you will be met with the exact same resistance that you tend to give other people. You just got to like the dosage that you get, because if not, guess what? It's not going to play in your favor. It normally never doesn't. Normally never
but
does.
But don't
sorry.
You think, like, sorry, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here, because
please do.
You like to move with a lot of aggression, right? Mm-hmm. You like to move with a lot of force, but then you say here, oh, don't sit here and be vocal, be passionate, be overly passionate, be strong, you know, because that's what Amanda Seales, I feel like she really mm-hmm. She really exhibits, but mm-hmm. yet you don't want to be met with a lot of force, but you can give a lot of force. That's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. Like, you can't, I mean, you know, you can have your opinion, but I'm yeah. just saying, like,
but you know, the reality of everyday people like you and me versus people like who are in Hollywood or who are in some type of entertainment industry is that there's levels to society, right? So, like, at the end of the day, if I want to huff and puff and say all the shit that I've had issues with white people for, like, all of my life or whatever, or the instances that, again, a lot of the instances of which I've had issues with, quote unquote, white people have been in this community. So if I was so turned off by white people in general, then I wouldn't be fucking them or dating them. It's my issue was never with the white community as a whole. Now, there's a difference with other communities who have an issue with the white community as a whole. I don't. I have an issue with people within the white community who I have met. So I had to grow because, you know, again, as I'll be 34 this year, like, beating on your chest and huffing and puffing and bitching and complaining can only get you so far if you have power to do something about it. If you are going to always work for other people, you got to be expecting that your boss is going to be white, the owner is going to be white, the person who's above you is going to be white. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, unless you're going to sit there and go do something that's like you're your own boss, then whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is, she's not fighting to take down white people. What she wants to do is she wants there to be a safe space for black voices and where they celebrate the contributions that black Americans, African Americans, have given to history, have given to pop culture, have given to the entertainment industry. And I think that's where you're kind of missing it. And I mean,
I was talking about her on that part, but what I'm saying, it's not about what she's trying to convey. It's how she's going about to convey. Because imagine if, let's just keep it real, right? Like, you know, we've all heard about like Jehovah's Witnesses stories, right? Like, people knock on the door and we dip and dodge them and ignore them and whatever, whatever. But imagine if every motherfucking Jehovah's Witness came in and started kicking the fucking door down saying, hey, have you heard about our Lord Savior Jesus Christ? Sit the fuck down. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd be like, oh my God, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I'm saying is, like, you can go about a message and get rejection, or you can get people to sit there and, oh, please tell me more. You know what I'm saying? But it's, she, again, I don't know a lot about her up until this interview. So what I'm saying is, when she was sitting there looking at him and she was just like, she just looked like she did not respect him. And it wasn't like he was being disrespectful to her.
No,
no, no. It, 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 No, 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 no. I haven't seen it. Body language. It, no, no, no. Body language. She was out there, sit there. No, I know what you mean in regards to you haven't seen it yet. But the thing about it, though, is like when she was telling her story, yes, of course, she was getting annoyed with how Shannon Sharp was basically kind of like asking her questions or like saying, because again, when she was talking about like when she was younger in, I guess, the late 80s, early 90s, and she, I guess, went to like Disney World or whatever it was. I forgot what she was. She was told that she was called the N-word, and she said that she was told that the only reason why she was there was because she was black and she couldn't dance. Like, it was just like, you know, if you're telling someone a story about when you were a kid, the only thing that, you know, like I said, that the pushback that a lot of people gave Shannon Sharp was when he said, are you sure that because you were a child? Oh, sorry, because she was saying that she was told these things by other kids. So when he was like, well, let me ask you a question, he was like, do you think it was just kids being kids because of what they were taught? And she was like, no, they're racist. And she was like, but you don't think that like kids learn something from their parents or who they're around to sit there and kind of like obviously mimic and say certain things that you may have been told and or heard? And she didn't like that because she felt like he was minimizing the experience or the memory that she's, you know, she's telling on his platform. But the thing about it, though, is like I didn't hear him saying, nah, bitch, that didn't happen to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just asking to sit there.
Yeah, he was, but she didn't like that.
She did not like that. She didn't like to be probed. And
but how do you know that she didn't like that? Like,
because of how she responded, because how she turned to how she started to respond with certain things, and how when he was talking, she would sit there and just like, you know, start blinking her eyes repeatedly, like looked at him like a bit like real, you know, it's just like when some people look at you and they're just like very annoyed, but they're just like, please shut the fuck up and be done with whatever you're saying. Like, I'm really not even here for it.
But that's some people wear their emotions on their face. I'm one of them too. Like,
yeah.
I'm not feeling it. I can give a little weird face or two or give a little side eye.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure when you're doing these interviews, again, I could be wrong. I'm not saying what I'm saying is right. I'm just saying that, like, there was probably prepping to some degree about what was going to be talked about, right? So you should be expecting the unexpected. Because she could have sat there, and as soon as he asked those questions, she could have been like, hey, you know what, Shannon Sharp, or whatever the hell she wants to call him, hey, you know what, I could see from that point of view, but let me go ahead and please remind you, this is coming from my experience. So at that moment, whether she was a teenager or, you know, under the teenager, you know, as a black child, this is how it felt at that moment. You see what I'm saying? But she wasn't even about delivering that. She was just, like I said, and it's just like Tyler Perry already made this movie. She comes off as an angry black woman. And the thing about angry black women when it comes to other black men in media presences is that's how they get labeled as difficult to work. I mean, shit.
But Gio, I have to stop you there because what you're saying, right? There's no basis for that. It's unfounded. Like, this is your opinion. You know that, right? So you have to be very careful about what you put out there, because I've told you.
No, I don't work in them. I don't work in them. So I'm just saying, like, because we've heard these interviews from Monique, when you get labeled difficult, that basically puts an X on you. We've heard from the original, what's her name? Aunt Viv from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like I said, there's been certain documentaries where I have read and seen the interviews from these women. And even whether it was intentional or not, like I said, you know, she worked. I didn't even know that she was on the fucking Insecure show. But keep in mind,
it had nothing to do with white people. This had everything to do with black counterparts. That's what I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, I mean, again, I don't know who she's worked for. But again, at the end of the day, think about it. When she was on the Insecure show, who do you think was funding Issa Rae's project? It probably was. I mean, again, I don't know. But HBO, I don't think, is owned by a minority. So when these people are paying for the production and all that other stuff, like I said, Issa Rae, whether you want to sit there and like it or not, yeah, she's opened a lot of doors. She's sat there and done certain things. But this, I mean, again, there's going to be always some white funding. You see what I'm saying? Like, and I think that that was one of the things that she probably was getting from Issa when she had that sit down conversation, that dinner, like, hey, I think that you have a problem with me. And Issa was like, no, I think you have a problem with me. And then they were trying to sit there and talk about it and blah, blah. And she felt like she was getting nowhere. And that's why she said, I've always felt like I'm always protecting her, but not no more. And I get that. It gets to a point where a lot of this stuff that you have been brought to experience, it gets old. But I think that if that's one of the reasons why I don't think that everybody should have a voice. Because there are some, well, hold on. When I say that, is like everybody has a voice. All right, cool. But not everybody needs to be heard. And because there are going to be some people, when you use as a movement, that are going to sound and deliver better than the aggressive, let's burn the fucking city. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have people in those groups, whether it's white, black, indigenous, whether it's able-bodied, handicapped, whatever you want to call it. You have to be very, you know, careful, because that's, like I said, you just, you have to be careful whether you choose to want to or not. Everybody's going to always be like, oh, well, you know, it, you know, I don't have to do this. Guess what? They don't have to do that either. Like, you're asking to be met at the table and to be met with a list of demands. That's why I told you the biggest issue with our community is that we worry about, well, I mean, by our community, I mean like the gay community or the LGBT, whatever you want to call it, like, is that we're always asking for everything to be met that's on that fucking list. And that's not how life works. Because at the end of the day, the world, the, you know, society as a whole is bigger than the LGBTQ plus community. There are more people that aren't even part of this community than are that are part of that community. Again, if you're thinking about the states alone, there's like, what, 330, 340 million people. Okay, first of all, the proximity of that being half LGBTQ plus is a stretch. You know, it's probably like 20% of that. You know what I'm saying? So you have to, if you're, it's like when people do sanitation worker strikes, you know, when they sit there and say, hey, you know, we're fighting for this, we're striking for this. Not every single one of those things that they meet with the higher ups to sit there and to talk about is going to be everything that they're given. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to give and you have to give to take.
Yeah, but sometimes strikes are very necessary. Sometimes you have to be met with that kind of force because no one's listening, no matter how much one-on-one conversations you have or how many comment box slips you put in there. Like, it's just, you're not being heard. So sometimes you have to be met with that type of force where you have to go in an uproar where it's like, hey, no, I need to be heard because it's wrong. Like, it's wrong. So that's why I think now more than ever, people are very loud about their beliefs and what and their demands. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, I don't, I'm not one to be very overly aggressive or even aggressive, but I will sit there and assert myself if needed. I will let you know and professionally check you. And I think that there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I don't know. I know we keep going back to Amanda because we started the conversation. I don't see her as an aggressive Black woman. I just see her as a strong Black woman with a strong voice who's sticking up for what she believes. And she just wants a space where Black people are heard.
Yeah, and there's nothing and wrong with that.
But that requires a lot of accountability. It requires a lot.
No, I mean,
and again, that's what she's doing. She's keeping people accountable. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, I feel like you need to keep people. No one knows true accountability. No one knows. Like, I even myself, as a 36-year-old adult, like, I'm still learning the full-fledged meaning of what it means to be accountable. And it starts from waking up down to your to generations, down to your decisions, down to the work you choose, even the type of men you choose. Like, people who complain, like, I had this conversation earlier with Chris where we were talking about, like, algorithms, right?
Hold that up.
What?
We haven't unveiled that one, so.
No, this is, no, what, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that you're back one round.
Oh, they've been new. Everyone knows.
No, because we didn't talk about it last time, remember?
Oh, it's fine. Well, anyways, I had the conversation with Chris where we were talking about like how certain people not attract people, but your phone now, we use our phone for everything, to date, to work, to, you know, communicate. We do all those things. So a lot of these apps have turned into what we call hookup apps, right? Down to even Tinder. I don't know, because I haven't been on Tinder since like 2014, 2015, right? Sure. It's not really my thing. Yeah. I think the last app I was on before I had met Chris was like 2 years ago, and it was Facebook Dating. And it's just like very similar, I believe, to like the other apps where you're like swipe left, swipe right. Anyways, what it does is it kind of curates these people that you can meet, the certain people that you're, and it's certain people that you usually entertain. There's an algorithm for that. There really is. I didn't believe that, but I actually looked it up. And when I say looked it up, TikTok, there is such a thing where your phone is listening to you and the type of men you entertain, you usually look at, whether you're on Twitter, you know, a Facebook, whatever, when you're stalking or, you know, whatever. They know it really stalking. Takes that all into account. Yeah. You know, when you find a crush, your gym crush or crush at work, you know, you look people up. So it kind of gets an idea, and this like algorithm builds like, or kind of like pushes you, pushes out the men that you are, you're used to. So now even your phone is giving off that energy and picking the wrong man, because you give that off, I mean, you give that to your phone, is what I'm saying. So like, I just feel like we, accountability is just something that a lot of people don't know. They really don't know. We can preach it, we can profess it, but we really don't live it. Yeah, I'm including myself in this because I literally just started to really realize what accountability is. And there's a lot to blame, like, for my past. And I used to victimize myself a lot, like a lot, where it's like, no, I didn't ask for this. No, I didn't want this. No, I didn't want that. Like, but at some point you have to take a hard look at yourself and you're like, okay, I may have not wanted these results, but what did I do to get to this point? Because I just didn't wake up and just like now I'm not saying that a series of unfortunate events cannot happen, like where something happens, like you're picked out of obscurity and, or you're like walking outside and someone hits you or abducts you or, you know, harasses you. Those are things that are very different, and those are just oddities, right? Like one-off exceptions. But mostly what really happens is, like, there was this thing where they said online that's been trending. It says, what if you got to choose the life that you're living now, but you just don't remember it? Like, but we literally do that. We choose the life that we want. Everything that's happening in our life, I'm going to say 90% of the time, is because of what we're doing.
I will say only one thing about, like, the accountability thing you talked about. And again, I have zero desire to live in a world where I have to consistently keep myself accountable for shit that I have done in the past. It's very exhausting. Like, I see a lot of people weaponize it. It's like, you need to be held accountable for this. And it's like, all right, cool. So like, how many Hail Marys do they got to say? How many I'm sorry's do they got to sit there and say? How many times do they got to sit there and try to make it right before it becomes, I don't know, right? Right. And it's just like, I don't know. Wait, like,
no, you have to be more specific, because I don't know what you're talking about. Is somebody crucifying you over something that you're just,
well, that's what I'm, just no, but I'm saying. Okay, so let's see. Cause so when I got with Zach and start that, you know, back in 2018 and stuff, I remember one of the first arguments that we had were political views, right? And I remember one of the things, like, I told him, I was like, oh my God, you know, you want people to understand this, you know, y'all are guilty of this. And like, he had to remind me, he's like, hold on. It's not fair that you're chastising me or crucifying me for things that I had absolutely no participation in. And everybody's always quick to remind white people that they're guilty of this and they've benefited from that. And whether there's truth or lies to it, whatever, again, like, I'm not here. Privilege, I don't really care. And I think that that's also something stupid. Y'all need to let, like, that shit go. Because, again, everybody wants to talk about white privilege, but everybody wants it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just keep it real. Let's keep it a buck.
Wait, what?
No. Everybody, no, I agree. Nobody wants white privilege. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Nobody in this motherfucker. Okay. Trust me, people want to say, yes, yes, they do. No, I'm not wilding out. I'm just saying what people don't want to hear, and I don't care. I also could be changing my mind tomorrow. I don't know. It's also like, I had a really good workout. So, you know me, I could just be like off that kind of, you know, but
it is everybody our does. Responsibility.
No, everybody. No, Joe, the reason
it's our responsibility to educate ourselves. It is.
No, you want to know why I'm saying no, it's not? Because there's a lot of people right now, the younger groups, who, whether they choose to want to go and educate themselves in a field and become very knowledgeable in that and then have that as a profession, they can choose to do it or they can choose not to. There's consequences to everything. I'm not saying that there's no life without consequences. I'm just saying that we keep living in a world where I don't have to do this. I don't have to say that. I don't have to bring this. Again, if it's okay for other people to say that with expectancy, or not expectancy, with, like, you know, urgency and, like, you know, huffing the puffing, like, blowing, you know, making sure your chest is big when you're saying it, then again, like, nobody has to do a damn thing. We've all been told that, and we've all said that at some point. Like, it's when, you know, like, if you choose to do it, that's one thing. But if you don't, nobody has to do a fucking thing. It's that we have built a society where we expect certain things, and when those things aren't met, we sit there and look at it very differently, right? Like, everybody right now should be able to go out there and get a job, right? Like, do you agree? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, but do you, well, is it fair to say that everybody has a job?
No, not everybody has a job, no.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question. Would, okay, and I'm only saying this because, again, it's too trickery of a black hole to get into. Because, again, like, I look at things in a way that, like, prepares me for either a conversation or conflict, or, like, I agree or I disagree, or I'm like, oh, my God, that's news to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't say this because I'm trying to sit there and defend people. I say this respectfully, listeners. I don't give a fuck about a good portion of you, because it's not my responsibility. And it's the same way that y'all are listening and saying, oh my God, he sounds so selfish, so whatever.
I don't think that you understand how you sound. Like, you come off like you come off exactly like how you're labeling Amanda Seales. I want you to know that.
No. And that's probably one of the reasons why I find her.
You literally just said, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
No, like no. But I'm like, saying this, but I'm not going and forcing other people to adhere to my beliefs. She's going to these platforms and bringing it up. Now you and I are talking because we whatever. But after this recording, I'm gonna go and live my life without bringing this up again. I don't go on a marathon, or sorry, not a marathon, but what is it called? I'm not going on a press tour trying to get people to understand and side with me. Store.
She just took advantage of the platform that she is, that she's on with Club Shay Shay, and decided to talk about the things that bother her or her life experiences, and just expressed it. That's it.
No,
and
sometimes they're met
with a little bit
strong pushback. Yeah.
Personality, and you know, she's sitting there and having conviction and passion and purpose, because I really do believe those things. Like, I feel like, like I told you, I get along with those kinds. Those people don't intimidate me. They've never intimidated me because I appreciate.
Just because I say
bluntness.
Yeah. Just because I say that she annoys me doesn't mean that she doesn't move other people to want to be better and do better. Like, I think that when people hear like, oh, why does this person annoy you? Like, there is, again, if there's going to be good, there's going to be bad. If there's going to be pro, there's going to be anti. You see what I'm saying? I don't know her to be pro or anti anything. It sounds like I'm very anti Amanda Seales because of how I viewed her from that interview, but I'm also not going to crucify her based off of that 100%. Now, if I'm just constantly seeing her doing this shit, then I guess at that point it depends if I'm solidifying her as an annoyance or as, you know, a movement, or she's progressing, or whatever the hell that the kids are using these days in sentences forms. But what I'm saying is, like, I've just learned that I'm only given one life, and I'm not going to continue to worry myself about other shit that's completely out of my control. Like, I will show up to certain things that, like, will affect me 100%, like, right from the get up. But there's other stuff that I can't solve. I'm a one person army in another state that is far or close, depending on the situation we're referring to, that can either do something about it or not. That's why we have elected officials. And I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of people need to understand that it's important for you to vote, whether it's the big elections or the minor ones in your cities, because these are the fucking people that have the power to do it, unless we are all going to sit there and agree that it's time to overthrow the government. But I don't see a lot of people saying, let's do that. So again, we're still stuck with fucking electing these individuals
but it's all corruption. It's all corruption.
That's what I'm saying. But the thing about it though is, if we know that, then why do we bitch about it? That's what I'm saying. Like, if we want to bitch about it, then are we bitching about it because we just want to vent and then kind of like go about our business, or because we want to ultimately see change? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's annoying for me that I hear so much negativity about certain stuff, but then I'm like, what are y'all doing about it? Well, you know,
get
I'm using
poll,
my social
media. Not getting right, get in the polls, bitch.
But you know, but that's the thing about it, though. Well, and then again, like, you have a
yelling hoe. Anyways,
like, how many times in the last 6 years, especially, like, you know, for the past two presidential elections, did we hear people from groups and stuff saying, I'm not going to vote, or say, you know, not my candidate or whatever? And it's like, y'all want to bitch about certain things that y'all know. Like, that's one of the reasons why people fucking died for, is these fucking things that, you know, either you want to see change or you want to keep the shit the same. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it just, y'all are just, again, if y'all want change, be the fucking change. Y'all are using y'all's fucking Twitter fingers, y'all's Instagram fingers, your little fucking TikTok, which get ready for that shit to be gone from what I hear. I'm just joking. I don't really care for the app either. Y'all, if y'all want it, y'all want it, whatever.
All
right. Right.
9 months.
But you know, like, I mean, but what I'm saying is that, like, y'all have gotten too comfortable with just using these applications that you can open and close and put in your pocket or your purse or whatever, the wherever you hold your you store your phone at, right? That's why I really respect the people from the 80s and the 90s from our community who were there in the fucking
did the legwork.
They were there, they were the ones getting a part of it.
The stonewall, everything. No, you're definitely right.
And we don't, and that's why I will say this respectfully to you, Gen Zers. Y'all aren't built for this. Y'all have not. Y'all think that because y'all kind of got born into a little bit of a privilege more than others. Like, I mean, let's just keep it real. Like, there was a difference between how I lived and went to school from how y'all are going to school now. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things that are have like. There's
but change. We had this discussion. I really do think Gen Zs are changing the world, especially how they.
It depends.
Because listen, I've seen a lot of Gen Zs get. They're on their second houses at 23.
It don't matter about that.
Masters.
It don't matter about that.
Six figures right out of college.
It don't matter about that.
They kind of have it.
No, it doesn't matter. No,
they're the ones that are going to really help.
No, they're not.
The economy.
No, they're not. No, that you want to know why? And I'm sitting there like saying that with like an adamant is because everybody bitches and complains about the rich, right? Eat the rich, eat the rich, eat the rich, whatever. But the American dream is to sit there and have whatever luxury gets blown up your ass, right? Whether it's to own a home or own a business or whatever, right? So when these people reach the capacity that a people look at and say, okay, that's a little too far, that you know what ends up happening? All the people that we talk about, like the boomers and the millennials and the Gen Zers and the alphas, whatever, every fucking one of these cycles get rinsed, washed, and repeated just in a different generation. So these Gen Zers that are like having on their second mortgage or the second house or whatever you said, that's great. But that doesn't mean that they're going to put everybody on. That's what I'm saying. Every one of them are going to be no fucking
nobody on. I'm saying that they're smarter. They're a lot smarter. You know what? They're learning from these generations.
Yes, but you know what they're learning? They're learning I, not we. That's what I'm saying. It's no different from how people blame.
We could talk about this in 20 years. Fuck y'all. You're like, I'm going to get off this. You know, you said I'm going to get off this podcast and I'm going to go about my marriage and not care. So you're literally. Like, you can't say that
but
about
I'm
them.
Admitting it though. These motherfuckers won't admit it. They'll sit there.
What
like,
do you mean?
Oh, no.
They're doing
it. No, you're right. But when they get asked and they get, they're gonna. I don't believe in sugarcoating it. But it's also because who I am and how I've lived life and how I've seen things. Like it's whatever. I don't have a problem when someone sits there and says, "Hey, do you have a problem with me?" All right, okay, yes, bitch, I do. What's good? You know, like I don't fuck with you or whatever, or like I don't believe how you believe, or I don't move how you move, or I don't eat how you eat. You know what I'm saying? Like there's. But I'm going to admit that I just don't go projecting it onto like just fucking strangers. But what I'm saying is that like if I'm met with the question, I'm going to answer it. But other people now are like fucking media trained where they're just like, oh, you know, hey, you stranger, do you believe that the conflict between blah, 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 blah. And they're going to be like, oh, you know, like you'll have some people who are like, yeah, I'm, you know, it's, you know, this, 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 and it's that, that, that. And you're going to have some other people who are going to be like, no comment. Because again, everybody and how they respond, because this generation, Gen Z, I'm going to be honest with you, has scared every other generation except for the boomers. I mean, some of them, where if they say certain things, it can be used against them. But that shit's starting to wear off. And people are just like, oh, okay. So what y'all use as a scare tactics isn't working anymore. So now y'all are prevailing and making, you know, y'all's own dreams come true, which as you should, as an American or whatever you are. You know, like, I'm just saying that it's no different. That just because they're making money or making more money doesn't mean that, or they're smart, that doesn't mean that they're. I've met a lot of people who are very intelligent, do stupid shit. We all know that.
Well, I think they're contributing.
Also, this is a very, like, this
to
is probably
the economy
like the most.
Very well. Listen, yeah, I mean, I guess. Look at some stats, and 77% of Gen Zs believe in having a good work life balance. In their life.
Mm-hmm. And guess who those Gen Z workers work for?
They boomers, make up 30% of the world population today.
Okay, whatever. That's bullshit. I'm going to sit there and say that. That's cap.
No, but I genuinely think 90%. That, no.
90%.
No, I didn't say 30. What do you mean?
Did you just not say 90%?
I said 30% of the world population today.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, but also the birthing rate has also gone down significantly from that generation because they're also not, you know what I'm saying? So, like, who are they living for? Themselves. What future are they trying to
bring? That's such a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, but what I'm saying is when you want to sit there and say, oh, well, the Gen Z is doing this, and they're smart and they're this, who are they doing it for? Themselves. So when they're gone or the next generation comes up, there's a percentage. That's, again, one of the reasons why all these anti-abortion shit that was these abortion bills were, you know, popping up and stuff because, you know, they're people aren't producing new life. For obviously our government to use.
I don't know about Gen Z's having a stake in that because it's a bunch of.
No, I know. I mean, they have options. they have options. All I'm saying is, again, this is why, like, again, like, take me as my word or don't. I don't care. Like, once we're done with this podcast, like, I'm not going to bring this shit up again unless someone asks me. I don't. Again, I think to myself and I'm like, whatever. Because, again, it's my opinion. Again, I'm not saying anything. What I'm saying is factual. So don't sit there and say, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. Just remember, unlike Tupac, I don't care, you know, but I'm honest about it. You know, at least you can sit there and say he's honest about it. I'm worried about my life. I'm going to be honest with you. Like,
you know what? Since you said that, I'm just going to say this. At least Amanda Seales is honest about it. So,
bitch, no, she is not.
Yes, she is. How is she
honest?
How is she dishonest?
No, what I'm saying, I mean, hold on, scratch that, because it sounds, also, this is like the, probably like the most hyped up, you know, except for the one time 2 years ago when you and I were going at it, you know, yeah. Like, this is like, you know, but, no, I mean, I'm not saying that she's not being honest in how she was conveying the conversations, the topics, whatever the hell she brought up to that, you know, interview. I'm saying that if she was really honest, she would have checked Shannon Sharp and said, hey, my brother, or whatever the show she wants, sit there and say, hey, I'm here to sit there and talk about me. I'm not here to be interviewed in 16 different ways to, I don't know, adhere to your public platform. I'm here to sit there and talk about me. Me, 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 me. Even though she was there to talk about her, when she was asked these topics, you know, and however Shannon came up with them, she started to show frustration, agitation, and she started to check out. If I'm not mistaken, she walked out of that interview, actually.
I don't know. From what I've seen, they hugged it out and everything was good.
Oh, all I kept on hearing was people, unless they're talking about something else. But what I'm saying is that, like, when, like, let's sit there and say, like, again, hearing, like, if we were talking about you right now, right? And we were talking about, like, you know, let's sit there and say whatever you wanted to talk about you, right? Your experience. Since, you know, again, the cat's out the bag. Like, if I'm over here grilling you about the experience with you and Chris, right? And how y'all have, you know, y'all went down one road and then y'all parted ways and you met up at the other road. You know, now you're, you know, driving together, you know. And I'm over here like, well, you know, hey, when you went through those things, you know, do you think that maybe it was because it was meant to be, or maybe the things that you thought were the things that kind of led y'all to break up were actually not in fact that at all? But you could be like, hey, you know what? That's a good question, but that question doesn't apply to me because I lived it, I experienced it, and I'm currently doing it. So that's one way to sit there and, I guess, shut down a naysayer or somebody who is asking you a question about something completely different or what you would consider irrelevant at the moment. That's how you get back on the course. But she wasn't doing that. I mean, she might have been, but she started to come off, like I said, she started to come off agitated. She started to come off like,
you
know, she
just for was, someone whose anger is just as important.
Mm-hmm.
You,
but
really,
I am honest are
so
about it.
Critical and so judgmental.
Oh, like,
but Jill, it's
no,
it's
she has
important look, to her.
Yeah,
that's
no,
it.
I'm
that's
not
how
saying
she is
I'm not
passionate
saying.
And gives her purpose, and she's strong, and she's valued. She knows how to value herself.
No, and you're absolutely right. I'm not saying, that's why I said earlier, to a lot of people, she's probably the needlepoint that needs to be moved. She's the voice that needs to be spoken. She's the get it girl. She's the girl's girl or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But to me, I don't know. Like, I don't know her that well. All I'm going off of is a first impression. And that's where I'm saying a lot of people will go off of first impressions if they don't know who the fuck you are. I don't know who, like I told you, when I watched Insecure from start to finish, I didn't know she was in that fucking show. I couldn't even tell you what character she was. She wasn't that memorable for me. I know she wasn't the best friend, and I know she wasn't the dudes.
Wait.
She was an Insecure.
No, I know that, but you're... her.
No, the best friend, the one who I told you reminds me of Tony from Girlfriends.
Yeah, I forgot her name too. That's not the point.
Yeah, no, I love her. But I'm just saying...
Well, you're talking about Molly?
Yeah, Molly. Like, I don't think she wasn't Molly because I remember her because, like I said, she was the... I remember, like, when I saw her, she reminded me of... I forgot what her name was, but she was the cheerleader. She used to be the cheerleader for Dallas Cowboys until she got into acting. But then remember that whole, like, she was the darker complected one, and apparently, like, she got fired because of it. That was a whole, you know, reason why her character left. Girlfriends and stuff like that because everybody else was light-skinned. Well, except for Golden Brooks, because Golden Brooks wasn't really... You know, I think they were like the same complexion.
I'm not going to speak on something I don't know about.
You were never a UPN girl.
I was, but I don't remember all that drama going on.
I remember it because I remember thinking like when the internet became like available to me, I was like, what are the burning questions I've had for the past 5 or 6 years? Oh, why did so-and-so, you know, kick? And then there was like the whole.
I thought it was about a money situation that they weren't equally all getting paid.
I think it was that. But I think that the reason why I think she felt that she was mistreated because of her skin complexion versus the other. Because again, remember, you know, Tracy, you know, Diana Ross's daughter.
Tracy Ellis Ross.
You know, she was the lead. And then, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was Maya and then Golden Brooks and then her.
Well, the thing is it's centered around Tracy Ellis Ross, which is, what was her character's name? It was centered around her. Just like how Destiny's Child was centered around Beyonce. Like they made Destiny's Child around Beyonce because she was always the lead. So
and funny how Beyonce. Funny how Beyonce was a light-skinned one.
When you start, as the seasons progress, they start taking on more airtime.
Storyline,
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to reassess people and their value that they bring to this TV show, just like in any other job. Because that's the problem, too. Like, I feel like a lot of people, they don't really consider when it comes to, you know, making a network of people or a ship of people that everybody pulls their weight. But some people pull more than others. And if you go from someone who was like gradually pulling their weight to like a titan, you definitely deserve to have your contract reassessed, re-reviewed, and compensated. Like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And sometimes you get to be so good and you make yourself such an asset that you end up becoming equal to your counterparts where you deserve equal pay.
Oh, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's also one of the reasons why I think a lot of people used to look at like Friends, remember? Like it didn't matter if you were the Joey or you were the Monica or the Jennifer Aniston's character, after her name was like Rachel or whatever. Like they all got paid the same amount of money. But there's also what they call, I love how we talked to Amanda Seals and now we're talking about fucking sitcoms. Oh, but before I forget, did you know that the Mari girl sister, I forgot which one she was, from the game?
Tia?
Yeah, was it Tia that was in the game?
Yeah, Tia.
All right, did you know
Tia Mari?
You know how they actually came up with the concept of the game, right? She was Tracy Ellie. That was her cousin. And I loved that. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I also kind of got pissed off that Paramount Plus canceled the game because I was really invested.
The Parkers was a spinoff from Moesha.
But you know they really did that girl Candace. I think her name was Candace or whatever. The one who was like
the white girl.
Not the white girl. Monica Monique's daughter. I forgot what her name was. So that was one of the things too that if you notice the difference between how her character was in Moesha versus the Parkers, they made her a lot more dumber in the Parkers. Because when you watch her in Moesha, she wasn't like that. She wasn't like, you know, the punchline.
What do you mean?
Go back and watch Moesha.
No, I remember she was ditzy. She was airheaded.
But she wasn't that ditzy, though. No, she wasn't, because even that was one of the reasons why her and Brandy started beefing, allegedly, was that when they created the Parker show, that was supposed to be something completely different, but then they started to really kind of like dumb her character down for like laughs and stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like, how was she? Because she, remember, she wasn't top billing in Moesha, but when they had the Parkers, that's why like Monique's character, you know, kind of like was the big and loud woman in the room, and then her daughter was like the white. It just didn't make any sense on why her ass was in college if she was that dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just kind of was like, oh, okay.
Like, I think anybody, it worked. I don't understand.
No, it did. No, it did, but that was,
but you're one talking of the about the original concept. It wasn't supposed to
be. Yes, that was one of the reasons why they found
something better, mm-hmm. and they made it better, and it went, what, for mm-hmm. 5-6 seasons?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made a lot of money, even though right now I believe that Monique stated on Club Shay Shay that her and Countess Vaughn.
Countess Vaughn.
They are currently fighting. I don't know who's the head of that corporation now, but for the residuals and back pay, what they're owed.
Oh, I believe it. Because remember, yeah, UPN used to own that network.
She said it made like, I'm just spitballing a number here, but like hundreds of millions of dollars for them. And they were,
I believe it,
like, I think she said like 60 or 80K, probably not even that.
Again, it really goes back on those contracts and how they were signing. But anyways, before we get any further, and you know, and no, but again, that's why.
Even the whole 360 deals back then with mm-hmm. P. Diddy, where he would, you know, corner these making the band people that he would bring on and make it, here's a 360 deal. I own everything mm-hmm. to do as far as music catalog, advertisement, product placement, like everything comes to me and you get a certain amount of check mm-hmm. and you're going to get what I feel like you're owed.
That's like, why, you know, I was
there's people who, no, but that's what I'm saying. People take mm-hmm. advantage of people. That's not right.
Yeah, but you know what's also, again, to sit there and just say, I just find it funny that every single time that somebody gets it, like someone gets taken advantage, it's always white this, white that. But you never hear about the ones in your own community, whether you're white, black, Asian.
But I'm not talking about white right now.
No. But what I'm saying is like, but think about how fucked up. Yeah, no, but think how fucked up that was, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, here he was, a very prominent black figure in the 90s up until the early 2000s. And that's why, like, people are looking at what's happening to him right now as karma and retribution for what he was doing. But again, remember when Diddy went on television shows and interviews and all that other stuff, it was always, I'm pro-black this, no, pro-black that, you know.
To praise this man mm-hmm. who we thought so highly of. I don't know about the pro-black this, pro-black that, but what I'm saying, if this is a
he came off the illusion.
Who mm-hmm. really, why don't, I don't know about that. I've never heard Diddy really speak on anything black.
Really? Okay.
No, I haven't. I'll be honest. Like, I don't know if it's out there. I'm not trying to discredit or trying to sit here and act like he's not.
Look at you out here catering to these BuzzFeed's words. I don't know. I don't have a comment. I'm just joking. I'm just
I have to give like mm-hmm. my actual point of view of things, because if I don't know something, I shut up. Mm-hmm. I don't speak on it.
Well, maybe you should.
No, why?
Because then you can just you can say something about
that's
it, but banter. Not like it.
That's bullshit. No. That is.
Oh boy, if you just ask
questions. No. There's a difference between educating yourself and asking the right person for questions. I mean, for answers, not for questions. But we here are just having a conversation, and I'm just not going to divulge just anything like you, where you're just like,
I'm just the target
of the mouth.
Mm-hmm. I'm just the target. I don't care
who goes to Target.
Hold up. I really want to play this because my ADHD ass is like, I really.
Dude, you are going to get our shit.
No, we're not.
Copyright first issues. Of all, we did not pay for the rights of that music.
We don't have to.
Yes, you do.
No. This is brought to you by you. What's that thing say? Brought to you by
YouTube.
You're
self-destructive in life, so you might as well be self-destructive on this podcast.
Boy, no, it's not, because I'm not out here playing the whole song. I'm just playing a little tidbit. You know, I'm playing with the titties.
It doesn't matter.
What I was going to say, Ray wanted to ask a question before we got into Amanda Seals.
Question.
Remember, you had asked me when I was at the gym yesterday, you said, what are your thoughts on someone having a Twitter or an OnlyFans and y'all are just beginning the stages of talking? Do you think that they should get rid of it, or they have the reason to keep it?
No. So what let me kind of reword that.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yeah. So my question is why is it that when we are starting to get to know someone, we sometimes, okay, hold on, let me think. If we go on Twitter and we find out that the person that we're talking to is flaunting their goodies online, why is it that it's okay for us to be spectators of it, but not want that as, but not actually see that as a value? Like to say, oh, I like to jack off to you, but I'm not trying to be in a relationship with you because you hold no true value. Like, that's kind of judgmental. And it's like, well, why are you on there? You may not be fucking sitting here flaunting all your shit, you know, on the internet, but you're still here for Spank Bank. You're still here to get off. So why is it that you could hold a judgment space, but I can't judge you for being a fucking nasty ass, perverted,
oh my God.
that's individual a lot of descriptive words. Who doesn't know how to get a boyfriend and he'd rather go online and jack off. I'm just saying, like, it can go both ways.
Okay.
It can go both ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
now, hold on. Uh-huh. I want to preface this by saying I, as a gay man, a 36-year-old gay man, as a, I'm learning and on a journey, right? I've come to realize that I'm okay with people having a past. Now, if I get wind, if I wasn't with Chris and I'm getting to know somebody, you know, and they have an OnlyFans, I'm going to be like, and I just found out, right? We've been talking for like a month. And then I find out later because I go on Twitter or whatever. I somehow find out because I always find out. Because God be on my side like that. You know, I'm not going to sit there and have a discussion with you and say, hey, you know what? Like, going forward, I need you to stop doing this because I don't know your financial
situation. Status.
I don't know your situation. I don't know why you're there doing it. If it's for attention, if it's for an extra source of income, I don't know. But I can't sit there and tell somebody, you can't do this. I'm just not that type of person. So right then and there, I would be like, you know what? I can't pursue this going forward in a romantic capacity, but a friendship capacity. You're welcome. Like, you're welcome to be my friend. I'm very.
I mean, like I told you,
at the knees. I'm not gonna wait. You know, because who got to
look at him? Yeah, he bringing people to his side, right? Like, he bringing people to his level, his little short ass level.
But no, the thing is, you have. Well,
how
to be
would you want to word that
like,
question?
That wasn't a question. No, but I'm saying you can't drag people on. Like, do you think it's okay for you to sit here?
Oh,
and be
no! Remember what I told you. Yeah, remember I told you a couple years ago.
I quoted that whole Britney thing. There's two kind of people in this world: the ones that entertain and the ones that observe.
Yeah, remember, and I told you a couple years ago too. Remember what happened with me? Yeah.
What?
Remember, I told you what happened with me before I met Zach, right? Remember, there was a guy who I had met at the Eagle, the old Eagle, not the new Eagle, in Dallas. That I remember we hit it off and stuff like that. And then I was just like, oh, he gave me his number and we started talking. And then he asked me about why I was single. And I was honest with him. I said, hey, you know, to be honest with you, the reason why I'm single is because my last ex and I didn't work out because I cheated on him, right? And we were supposed to go on a date. And then what ended up happening was closer to the date. I want to say the day of or the day before, he was like, hey, he goes, I'm going to be completely honest with you. He goes, I don't like the idea of going on a date with somebody who cheated. And I was like, okay. God. And he was like, but you're, you know, he goes like, you know, you're, I really appreciate the honesty. And I told him, I said, yeah, I said, oh, absolutely. I said, but just remember the same way that you're telling me you appreciate the honesty. Just think about how many people have lied to you about why they're single. You know, like you can't sit there and like condemn me. I mean, whatever. I mean, it also worked out for the best. And plus I heard his ass is still single and, you know, trying to live a twink life at like whatever. Because that's just, you know, look at me. I just be, you know how you say God don't play about you? God don't play about me. But no, like, and yeah. I to be honest, I don't even remember that. I don't remember that man's name to save my life. But no, like I said, I remember, I wasn't even phased about it, right? Because I was like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, I kept on moving. Because at that point, because, you know, I was like, fuck it, I got to, you know? Like, I didn't have any investment in here to really kind of like be like, no, please, let me show you that I'm different, you know? I didn't give a fuck. I was like, all right, well, whatever, deuces.
Well, no, he was honest with you. He told you
a friend. Yeah, but the thing about it, though, is like...
That's the way it should be.
Well, I was going to say, you know how they always sit there and say, honesty sets you free or the truth will set you free or whatever? It depends, right? Because like how you had asked the question to me about like how I would feel... It's like the same way that I remember, I don't know why, but like in the beginning stages of my little gay life, I remember when I would ask people about like their previous experience, right? Like their sexual experience. I don't know why I got like a little chip on my shoulder when I would hear, yeah, you know, a guy used to sit there and dick me down, or I'd dick him down. But like, I'd be kind of like turned off by it, right? I'm like, what the fuck are you telling me this for? But again, at the same time, like, how am I expecting to meet somebody with no history whatsoever? You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't make any sense. So I had to really kind of like give myself that pep talk of, Giovanna, you sound and look stupid by saying what you're saying in your mind. Thank God you're keeping it there. Because at the end of the day, it's no different from how many people have you been fucked by, or how many people have you fucked. Like, I mean, come on now. You know what I'm saying? So history is with everybody, regardless if they've been single their entire life. People have history. People have, you know, that's just...
they have a past. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that what happens, though, is, like, if you find out about a social media, right? Because I remember even, too, like, when before I met Zach, right? Remember that guy I was telling you I was dating? His name was Jay, and we had known each other for, like, the past 6 years. It was kind of like off and on, will they, won't they kind of situation whenever we got both ended up single. And I remember telling him, like, we're not going to work out. And he was just like, why? You know, you say that, but there's – I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, Jay, let's go ahead and date, you know. And I knew that right then and there it was going to, like, not work. And sure enough, 3 months later, because he knew about everything that I had already kind of done, right? Like the whole Instagram, when I used to be a lot more active on there, he saw a problem when he was dating me, even though these things have always existed, right? Mm-hmm. And then it became like – like, I don't know, like, he expected me to, like, delete them or some shit for his ass. And I'm like, I'm not deleting a motherfucking thing for you. Like, there is no, like, people have to realize that when they get into a relationship with me, again, how everybody chooses to have their relationship, that's completely on them. I'm not deleting the motherfucking thing. I'm not deleting photos from my ex or from my phone. That's just not how I move. Like, I appreciate the memories that I have, you know, been able to be awarded with people or by myself or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, like, I forgot who it was when they said take as many naked photos as possible, because at some point you're gonna be old and wrinkly and you're gonna look back and be like, damn, I used to look really good. No, but I do that because, like, at the end of the day, all what people like now about me, that's gonna start get wrinkled. My bones aren't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it you get older. So what do I
talk about? I do this for me and only me. You're a Gen Zer too. In this
But I'm talking about, I do it for me because I want to look back at the memories, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's also one of the reasons why I've been telling Zach, like, I would like for us to start taking more photos, because for, like, the couple of years we've been kind of slacking in that department, because I want to have us, like, a big photo album of our relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like, how we used to in the first beginning 2 years of our relationship, you know? But, like I said, for me, it's important because I look back at moments like that. I love the physical copies of photos, you know what I'm saying? Not everybody's the same because people prefer digital or whatever, but... like, yeah, like every, you know, what was ironic about Jay when his little fucking, his little comment about, like, well, why do you feel the need to post this? And I'd be like, motherfucker, why are you still chatting these guys up from Austin and San Antonio that you used to fuck that were half your age? Why are you still in contact with them? But you're worrying about a fucking Instagram photo because it has God knows how many likes and stuff. And you quote that that's a little bit different from a private text message. Like, get the fuck out of here. In the great words of Melissa Thorpe, ciao, good night. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, we all do different things that pertain to a past. So I just think that, again, I mean, like, how you get
them. I don't know that was like boundaries or like standards. That sounds like more of a
we insecurity. Weren't even. I was gonna say we were.
Jay had a lot of insecurity issues. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but that's what it sounds like. I
don't and that's why JS is like standards. Yeah, and that's why JS was never gonna be married, because he was engaged for a minute, then that guy left his ass because everybody ends up leaving his ass. No, because, like, I hate guys like that who sit there and, like, stand on this little fucking high morality and be like, I'm a catch. Everybody wants to be with me. And then when they're with you, just like, God damn, like, you are this kind of person? Like, the fuck? Bye. That's why I tell Zach, at the end of the day, how people sit there and perceive me is not how I am with Zach all the time. Like, because then if not, he'd have a right to leave me. But to get back on topic, I mean, think about it. Like, Zach met me with a very risque Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he would have told me to delete something or to take this down or whatever, we probably would not be together, because I would have said no. There are just things that, for me, they're starting points of control. Now, there are some people who will 100% relinquish control of how they are viewed and respected and all that kind of stuff when it comes to relationship. So that's why, like, let's sit there and say in a hypothetical situation, somebody were to sit there and find that somebody had a Twitter and they said, hey, I really want you to delete this. But the thing about it is, what happens if y'all don't work out and you just delete this for nothing?
What does that matter?
It matters.
It's just a Twitter.
No.
Unless that, you're monetizing off of it, I understand. Yeah, that.
But some people, but just if this like
is for again, a look or for a like.
Baby,
or
for my attention, look. My look, whether I'm getting paid for it or not, is more valuable than your opinion. If you're only going to be here 1 month and gone the next, I'm going to keep it real with you.
I'm the type of person that I really don't. I can go both ways, right?
Bisexual. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, God, no. I would never touch pussy. Hairy pussy? Oh, God, no.
Anyways, hello, kitty. Hello, kitty.
Goodbye, kitty. But meow. I feel like I'm the type of person that really doesn't.
I understand
to some degree. No. I understand, but I don't understand it when it comes to adding that to my life or to my equation.
But that's because it's not important.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's the right way. I'm saying it's what works for me.
Yeah. But that's, again, like, even when Zach and I were talking yesterday about the TikTok ban, right? And he was just like, you know, he kind of got to the nitty gritty of it, right? Like, he was just like, you know, I feel like with what's going on right now in the climate and the world and all that stuff, like, this is a lot of people's escape, right? Like, people just like to go scroll and listen to these videos and watch them or whatever. So he was like, why should I be compromised from my daily routine because of our government or whatever the fuck is behind the closed door number one, two, and three when it comes to why they're trying to do this, right? And I was like, no, I get it. I understand it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might not necessarily use it for, like, the other intended purposes that the people who are making or monetizing or whatever the fuck they're doing from it. Like, but he's still on it. You know what I'm saying? But imagine if I told him, if I was that insecure of a man, to be like, I need you to delete that right now. He'd be like, why? I don't even, you just, it's just the thought that the existence of your the no me knowing on your phone, like, the fuck out of here.
Yeah, child, no, but goodnight. I'm not going to tell you what you need to do. I'm going to tell you what I don't like, though.
Child, good night. Bye-bye.
I'm going to tell you what does not fit into my boundaries, into my self-respect, into my value. Like, bro, you know, today I'm not going to like divulge everything, but I realized how much value they put into sex. There is so much stock, so much invested in sex. I swear to God, sex is just like everything to everybody.
No, it's not fair to say that. It's no, all that it to is some a lot. People.
It really is. No, it really is.
Are you those? Are you that percentage?
You cannot are you that say percentage? That because no, you no, make no, a yeah. living off of sex.
You can't
say that.
Yeah, but the thing about that was like,
so there's a lot of value. Maybe it's not emotional, but it's monetary. You put a lot of investing in that. That's your bread and butter. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I get where you're going with that, but I think that, again, if you're going to be the BuzzFeed between both of us, and you want to be careful about how you say certain things, especially when you don't have you used the word information. You didn't want to sit there and banter. Then I think that it's only fair that I hold you accountable, friend, and say not everybody, but there are percentages of people who.
Okay,
see how annoying y'all are gonna sound?
Let me rephrase that. No, you're keeping me accountable. Yeah. So let me rephrase that. There is a lot of people in my life who I follow, who I've had experiences with, especially on a friendship level, who put a lot of investing into sex, not just personally, but with their relationships. And that's a big reason why a lot of people fail. The relationship fails. I'm sorry. That's why attraction is being lost. That's why having that one-on-one time, that quality time, investing in what your person likes, their dislikes, who they are, what they're good at. Like, bro, like, people invest too much into sex. They do, bro.
But people what happens?
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. But can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, what?
All right, let's sit there and say, all right, cool, you go to sleep tonight, right? And then you wake up tomorrow, and then all of a sudden the thought of being penetrated or penetrating or whatever is just like, that just poof, goes away, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you and Chris have that conversation, right? And you're just like, hey, babe, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden just the thought of that physical intimacy is just not really there. So, like, I'm still cool with cuddling and kissing, but, like, again, the thought of just like, you know, penetration, whatever, like you might sit there and do like, you know, the hand jobs, the mutual masturbation, whatever the case may be, but you're really doing it for him. Like, would you not shame him? Cause that sounds really like, you know, like negative, but would you sit there and like understand
if why you were to break up with me?
Yeah. Like, would you understand like if y'all's relationship basically
took a turn? I would understand. Yeah.
But I'm saying, but would you sit there and fault him for any of the decision that came to that because of it?
What do you mean?
Would you?
I'm saying that there's just this excessive investment into sex. I'm not saying that you have to take sex completely off the table. That's a component.
Yeah.
But people overdo it. People are over sexualized, over fetishized. People put too much stock into sex.
Yeah, because sex is the girl's girl. She's a girl's girl.
No, it's not. It's just.
How do you think you got
too
here?
How did you think you got here?
That was sex.
Too much of anything is not good for you.
No, you're right.
Too much of anything. Eat too much. Mm-hmm. Drink too much.
Everybody.
Sleep too much.
Ray is Trina's daughter. Stupid. You said drag?
No.
You said drag too much?
No, I said sleep too much.
Yeah. I mean, and let's just keep it real. You know, there's a lot of people right now who are eating too much, and they think that, you know, their body, their choice. You know, like, hey, take your again, there is a consequence to everything, whether it's pro, anti, good, bad, left, right, up, down. Like, there is a consequence. That's why, again, we always talk about how we're so shocked when bad things happen to good people. Like, again, like, you're not all guaranteed. Shit,
bad things happen to everybody.
No, you're right. Shit,
I'm going through like a 2-year, going on 3-year span of like just unfortunate events, like it's whether it's a wreck or my grandmother died or the cancer or work related stuff.
But that's the thing about life, I guess, is that like I don't know of a lot of people who can sit there and say my life was 100%, you know, like stress free, you know.
Or it was like, until a couple years ago, but
you know. Yeah, but that's not 100% though. Like, I mean, at that time, it might have been like 80%, you know. But you and I have been friends for 15 years, and you and I have both stressed about different things in our life, or you have also done things where you have stressed in isolation without letting other people know because you've always had that mentality of, what's the point of me telling you my problems or how are you going to fix them, you know? And I respected it to a degree. Sometimes I remember in the beginning when I first heard that, I was like, how dare he not think that he could confide in me or whatever, whatever. But like the reality is, it's like, I get it now more than ever. I get a lot of things. That's why like I've just also kind of learned to be like, I wouldn't necessarily say the word neutral, because then I feel like if I sit there and say I'm neutral, that means that I don't plan on moving from A or B, but I'm situational. That's why I get when people sit there and say like, you know, things that matter to them and where they can see the cause for concern, or like they want to sit there and see the change where that's not, you know, the norm anymore. But at the same time though, like I'm also a realist when it comes to certain things. Like, again, life's not fair. We know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, so I don't know why we're still surprised by it, you know?
Sure, Jen.
Whatever. But yeah, no, I do feel like if you are in the stages of a relationship, or not even a relationship, if you're just getting to know each other, like if you're going to ask me to delete something, I'm going to need you to give me a deposit.
Oh my god!
What? No,
I'm having deja vu right now.
No, I'm just saying, like, give me a deposit, and if for some reason we don't work out, I get to keep the deposit. But if we work out, you get your deposit back. I'm just saying,
this is non-refundable.
Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I really do believe, and I think I've talked to you about this before on here. I do think that there should be an insurance to something that if it doesn't work out, you know, the person who feels like the more left for hanging gets something to benefit from it. Because again, you can't get time back. What?
Spoken like a true liability that you are.
A bitch. Your mother. but it's the truth though. Like, I feel like a lot of people are always so quick, myself included, to have been in the past or present or whatever, to ask a lot in the beginning, right? Like if I met with, because you know how like when Zach and I met and stuff, like I told him like, hey, I fell in love with him in like the, 24 to 48 hours. But imagine if I was asked by other people what they would be considered normal. Like, oh, that's too soon. You're going to scare him away. You're not going to work out. Bitch, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? But then again, I had to make that decision for myself. Nobody told me to the decision. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to be very careful because right now a lot of people aren't putting a lot of stock into creating a long-lasting relationship. People are just wanting to experience moments. People are moments now. You know what I'm saying? I think they've always have been, but that's why like all these people, you know, who are like, oh, I want to catch a vibe. I want to catch a vibe. That's like the new drug. You know what I'm saying? Catching a vibe with somebody, like absorbing their energy, being around them, using them for whatever you're trying to get off on. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a musical festival, a movie, sexual encounter, a dinner buddy.
People just take what they need and they keep it moving.
Exactly.
Like nobody believes in really festering and fostering these relationships, mm-hmm. these emotional attachments, these, this energy that they have. They just want what they can take and they keep it moving. Like we are in the era of micro relationships, micro loves.
And you know, and for that, this is what I sit there and tell them. Okay. You ready? Don't say anything for like 30 seconds. Metro, shut your whole ass up and make some drums, nigga. Boom.
No. Do you rap or do you tweet? Go to the poll, bitch.
I'm saying, y'all want y'all's voices heard? Amanda Seals, if you're listening, girl, go to the poll, okay? So you, be the change you want to see.
Listen, Amanda Seals, if you're listening to this, don't listen to this motherfucker who be getting on the poll.
Showing hoe and poll.
Okay?
Amanda,
he don't know nothing. He don't know nothing.
The difference between you and me, baby girl, is that I'm not going to sit there and say everything else about who I am as a person and reason why I do it and why I got to do it. I do it because I want to. Okay? Why do you do it?
Oop. Anyways, oh my God.
Look at me. I'm a problem. But I can be a solution too. So just FYI.
You can also go to jail.
You can go to hell.
You first.
Right? But let's see, what else are we gonna
talk about? Yeah, my daddy, bitch. I'm Big Mama.
Right? Every time you book me with them bum bitches, it's gonna be a big drama. let's see. Okay. Here we go, Ray. Do you believe now as a 36-year-old gay man or whatever the hell you told people you were like 30 minutes ago, do you believe in the 5-year question?
What do you mean?
Do you believe in asking or listening to a 5-year question? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do I see myself in 5 years? I see myself...
No. I asked, do you believe in that question anymore? Like, do you see that? Is there value to it anymore? Like, or is it just like something we should aspire?
I used to have this blueprint. I had my entire life planned out. And I used to just be really strong and passionate about where my life was going and who I was becoming and who I was with and all these things. And now I'm just taking it day by day. I'm being very open and treating myself with care because I'm so fragile these days, like mentally. So now I'm just taking it day by day. So no, I really don't believe in the 5-year plan. But I do believe in having a motherfucking job, having some money in the bank and taking care of yourself. Paying your dues to society. I don't want people to think I'm this hippie now where I'm just like because I feel like now I've gotten this energy, I give off this vibe where I'm just this free spirit and not having these shackles towards like the American dream. I'm more of just like what comes and what goes by, you know? So I have this very soft.
This is approach, I feel like this to is, life. Yeah. I feel like this is you. I think this is a great representation of you. Are you ready?
Are you gonna play another motherfucking song? Oh my god.
Shh.
Oh my god. I gotta pop it. I'm standing on business.
I'm ready about it. Bitch, be talking. Girl, tell me about it.
I'm pretty.
That's my ringtone now.
I'm pretty. I'm running this city. One bitch, two bitch. Old fact, new fact. None of y'all right, fags gonna do shit.
I'm just saying. Y'all gonna crucify me with hashtags? Boy, good night.
Okay, I'm over this podcast. Let's end it.
Are you really?
Yeah, really. My energy's draining, and I need to.
Get I know.
Hair cap, because I have all these enhancements in my
hair. You said a hair. Oh shit! Hold up. One thing that I do want to bring to the attention of people, men specifically.
Pay your taxes.
Who?
And believe in pegging. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, shut up. No. since obviously I don't know where y'all live at geographically, I do recommend that anytime that y'all are starting to feel sluggish, y'all don't have a lot of motivation or energy.
Oh, Gio.
We got but no, show. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to know.
He got testosterone. He got one little shot that was no, not I didn't get no wellness shot.
I got six.
Swear to God.
No.
He just know the cure to life. He no. Just got the when it comes to men, if you talk about these steroids,
no, boy, first of all, hold up. Let me get my message before you start trying to crucify me.
I cannot with you,
boy.
Right now.
No, it's important.
He go to community care clinic and get these generic shots, and he swear he just brand new. He's Superman.
No, it's not that at all. No, so like I have been going for the past 6 weeks to a testosterone replacement therapy center, and I've seen a huge significant difference in my testosterone level, because again, a lot of what people don't realize, regardless of age, and men specifically, you can be in your early 20s, you can be in your early 30s, 40s, whatever, and you can start to lose testosterone, which of course is why a lot of people lose their hair, and then their bones are fragile and just all other stuff. But there's a lot of benefit in going to like a testosterone replacement therapy to get it looked at least. Because again, that's also how people start to put on a lot of weight. You know what I'm saying? There's benefits to it. Because my levels were like at 286 when I first started, and that's very, very low. And then when the lady called me today and gave me my update for my blood work yesterday, she told me I was in the 800s. So there's a benefit. And I've seen a lot of things when it comes to how I I'm starting to feel day in and day out, like there's a lot of benefits to it. I'm just saying, I recommend you to not feel ashamed, because this motherfucker over here going to shame you. I'm not.
I'm not shaming you. It's
he's
just
the Gio. He went to community center one time.
Wait a minute. No.
Shots.
The one thing that gets on my nerves about Gio is when he fixates on something, he does not let go.
No,
when
I told you.
Hold on. He's a fixate. Hold on. Wait a minute.
No, do the Donnie thing.
No. You're doing the same thing that Amanda Seals does. Let's just end this podcast now. Seven shit down people's throat. Joe, I don't know how many times.
Yeah, get your testosterone check. It's just a testosterone.
I've been
friend.
Telling you, and you refuse because you're hard headed. Okay,
blah,
whatever.
Blah, blah. And I'm like, this motherfucker.
I all I did was
he
recommend
swear,
you to
he
go.
Got one little shot.
Six, but whatever. And you know what now? I'm a girl's girl. Boop.
But you know what? Yes, it is very important. Check your dick. Check your testosterone.
No, it's not true. He said check your dick. No, there's a lot of benefits that aren't necessarily just dick related. I'm just saying erectile dysfunction.
It's the most important thing. Yes, I check your dick and check your testosterone.
Hey, Chris, if you're listening to me right now.
And check your credit score.
First of all, fuck credit. At this point, like, we about to not have a world anymore. Stupid. No. He always talking about, I want to go see Caesar versus the Planet of the Apes or whatever the fucking movie called. I'm like, boy, don't give a fuck about those monkeys anymore. Like, all they keep doing is destroying society even more so. They're trying to eliminate the humans. So why are we, you know, whatever. Okay, this cool.
Sounds very familiar.
Right? It's kind of like that movie with the birds, the blue people. What's this shit called?
Avatar?
Yeah, there you go. The Blue Man Group.
The Na'vi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even, you know what's so funny? You can make anything sound racist. it's fucking ridiculous. It's really sad.
What do you mean?
Literally, if I
said the blue people,
exactly. You say things. It's just the way you say that those blue people. You know those blue people in the sky that fly?
They were like, blue people. What the fuck? Racist. I mean, I'm sorry.
Like, they're not even real. But
they're
still.
Not. You know what? I could have also
they're indigenous.
I could have. What? Okay. I could have been talking about the Smurfs too. They're blue. I could have talked about Blue's Clues. He's blue.
Again, you make everything sound racist.
I'm just, I guess, you know what? If I make everything racist, you listen to everything that's racist.
Shut up, anyways.
Clearly. Are you going to leave us with the quote, though?
Yes. It's from our one and only Michelle Obama. There is a point in allowing yourself to be known and heard.
and owning your unique story and using your authentic voice. So never let anybody silence you, even if you're Amanda Seals.
You're so stupid. I felt, you know what's funny is that this podcast was not supposed to be a, this
it episode really wasn't. It, so it's supposed to be go so different, but you know what, it's fine. Sometimes you just, because I don't think we've really covered like the political climate in any capacity, like, and we kind of, or covered real like
topics,
pop culture topics, you know, pop culture topics. Yeah. So I feel like, well, we haven't done that really. So it's a good thing.
I was going to say, but I think that between you and I, you're more nervous about the perception of what comes out of your mouth and how people view your opinion. But the thing
I got a motherfucking job. I will lose my shit real quick.
Yeah, but again, like, I mean, at the end of the day, don't let these people scare you.
No,
they're scary. You're scary.
I'm not gonna follow OnlyFans. You're not gonna see me shaking it for a dollar. I said that.
First of all, you know what?
Cannot happen to me.
How about you know what?
I do not have ass like you,
boy. First of all, that's not what Chris said.
I would say dick, but you got more. It's more piercing than dick. That was good.
Boy, first of all, talking about my salami.
Okay, let's hold on. Let's clear one thing up. The only reason I know is because he's told me about his Prince Albert. So let's be very clear.
This is going to be 7 years. Yeah, it's going to be 7 years. I've had it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. You should talk about that one day, about like the process and the healing. And how it felt, and like,
did I think I did now. Tell you? I think I did.
No,
say
it. I mean, to the listeners, yes, not to us. I know,
right? Because these people gonna be like,
I don't think that there's too many people that do that now. And if they do, like,
oh, there's a lot of people that actually do it now, but it's more like in the leather community and stuff. I mean, I'm not part of that community, but
the hell is the leather community? That's another leather topic bear for another community.
Right. Hold up. I'm sorry, because when I say the leather community, he gonna be like, that sounds racist. You make everything sound racist. Those are people too. Okay, first of all, yeah, okay, I get it. I didn't say they were leather people. we will try to do this again in a couple of weeks, depending on how Ray's energy.
Gio's going to Dallas, so hit him up.
Yeah, I'm going, and then, you know, it's also gonna—it's really gonna depend on
everybody but his friend, his real friend in real life.
Boy, you're going to El Paso. What are you talking about?
But I'm still here for the first week of May, so whatever.
Boy,
what exactly? You bullshit. Just like Ian. Just like Cody.
What's that? Who the fuck is Ian? But we do got to link up though. It's been,
which, by the way, I was going through our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I totally forgot how Ian looked.
Oh, the white boy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a type. You know, I will sit there and pat myself in the back.
No, Wait a minute. Let's be very, very clear here. He may be a white boy, but he looks nothing like Zach.
No. But I do have I really do attract intelligent men. Like, I'm really, I love that about me. That I have attracted doctors. Malito? Huh?
Wasn't he Malito?
Oh, I thought you said, wasn't he Monica? And I was like, excuse me, are you quoting Beauty Shop?
She did not say, you know what? That is racist, because you all, you know what? Scratch that from the record. Next question, Tamika, because this right? man is just no.
Because when you said that so whispering low, I was like, did he just say, if he asked him if he was a moniker? And I was like, the fuck is that? Oh, that's the God. Name. That's the name, by the way. But she said that way. She took it. Yeah. Anyways, if you've not seen Beauty Shop, it's a funny part. Whatever. It's almost like a 21-year-old movie at this point. I've attracted, again, I remember Jafar was a doctor. Zach, like I said, I've always attracted intelligent men. Now, does that mean that I've kept all of them, like, for long-term relationships? No, but I've attracted them. So, like, your boy must be doing something right.
Yeah.
So, anyways. But, see, we'll come back in a couple of weeks.
Why? Because white is right. No. Boy, bye.
Shit. Actually, hold up. My question is, are you going to take your microphone? What the fuck am I here stumbling for? Into El Paso. Are you going to do that or no?
I carry my piece with me.
All right.
I'm just kidding. I'm not.
Oh, no. He is, though. He is. Don't let him fool you.
No, I'm not strapped. Did I know somebody with strap.
All right. He sat there and said, you know, it's either lay down or get down, okay?
All right. But, I'm over this. Let's let it go.
But anyways, we'll come back. And then at that point, hopefully your boy Ray has checked his testosterone level.
Boy. Anyways. All right. Love, peace, and cinema. Bye.
Bye.